All this week, ABC Radio Sydney explores how and why we work.
People are choosing to partially work at home and partially working in a centre.
The so-called entry-level positions are diminishing rapidly.
Working Sydney.
And I'm very pleased to have in the studio with me this morning two heavy hitters. Natasha Hawker is the founder and managing director of Employee Matters and author from Hire to Fire and Everything in Between. Welcome to the program, Natasha.
Thanks for having me, Wendy.
Very nice to have you along. And Employee Matters is a company that provides employee support to small business, including, I note on your website there, the very critical task of hiring the best workers. You've got lots of advice to give out there. So there's that number again, folks, 1-300-222-702. And you can text as well if you like, 0467-922-702. And with me also is the New South Wales Small Business Commissioner, Robin Hobbs. Hello, Robin. Welcome to the program.
G'day, Wendy.
Nice to have you along too. She's run several small businesses, has had senior roles in the Chamber of Commerce, the Opera House and the City of Parramatta, and she was, well, this is your enduring legacy here, Robin, the brains behind establishing Carols in the Domain in 1984.
Yep, our 35th anniversary this year.
Well, if you do nothing else.
Oh, by the way, Wendy, I only started when I was 10.
Well, yeah, of course, I knew that, of course. All right, welcome to the program, Natasha and Robin. I want to run through some stats here. I mean, I think sometimes we just really don't know what a workhorse small business is in New South Wales. Employs half the state's workforce, 1.57 million people, and those businesses make up 98% of all New South Wales businesses. That is very much a surprise to me, Robin. Where are we going with small business? Where's the trend? Up, down?
It's up.
Flat?
We've actually got 710,000 small businesses in New South Wales, and it's up 20,000 on last year. So New South Wales had the biggest growth of any state in the Commonwealth. We were up 3%. Now, these are done by the Australian Bureau of Statistics, so they're really solid. So they take the ones that go out and then the ones that come in. So New South Wales is on an upwards trajectory. And a couple of things about it. A third of all New South Wales small businesses, the owner-operators don't speak English. So it's really important that we recognise the contribution that multicultural businesses make and how we service their needs. And also in New South Wales, the split between regional businesses and metropolitan businesses. So 36% of all businesses are in regional rural New South Wales and the rest are in metro. And in terms, if you wanted to ask me about where women fit in all of this, is it's generally one third women to two thirds men. That's a fairly easy split.
We're looking at a very entrepreneurial spirit with our migrant population, aren't we?
They're wonderful. And the thing with it is that when they've come here as migrants and they do struggle with language, we actually now have tools in what we think are the major languages, Arabic, Chinese, Korean and Vietnamese. And we actually have business connect advisors from those communities that will work with them. And one of the things that we've found when you're working with people who don't speak English as their first language is it's very hard when they rely upon family members when they need to get, let's say, employment advice or legal advice or accounting advice. You have to rely upon someone to translate for you. And it's really important when you actually help people's self-esteem and self-respect to be able to be confident in their business. Because if you're confident in your business, you know where to go to get information, then you're bound to be pretty successful.
Just before we cross over to Natasha for a few comments, can you just tell me those new 20,000 businesses, do we know in which areas, which are the growth areas? Is it personal services perhaps? Let me guess.
It's a whole variety of different ones. I'm happy to explain those. But let me tell you, it's actually small and medium-sized enterprise businesses that actually powers the economy. Big businesses actually aren't creating jobs. They actually have a lot of jobs in their big businesses, but all the statistics show that it's the small and medium-sized enterprises that are growing that. And the New South Wales Government Jobs for New South Wales program mm-hmm. specifically focuses on this SME sector. So we see things, let's say, in food services, personal services, technology, export. And there are some great stories, which I hope I'll be able to tell you through the morning.
Good. Well, that point there, of course, Natasha, about hiring the right people, you are red hot on this one. It is difficult.
It's very challenging. And I think part of the reason is, you know, my career started in corporate and I was taught how to interview, and I actually spent 3 days in a course which I had to pass to be able to interview people. And most small business owners don't get that opportunity. They go in there and they do it on their gut. And your gut isn't the best indicator of future success for new employees. So one of the things I would encourage every small business owner to do is to learn how to interview more effectively. And we usually say there are three types of interviews: technical, behavioral, and cultural. Technical, can they do the job? Cultural, are they a fit for the culture of the business? And behavioral, past behavior indicates future performance. So if you put them in that scenario again, how are they going to behave? Mm-hmm. So that's really important. And you must do reference checks. And I would also suggest psychometrics as well.
Okay. Well, the interesting thing about this one is that I was looking at the stats about a small business. And so when we talk small, so many of them are just maybe four employees, four people in an office. So the person that you're going to get has to be, well, you know, it's really a premium on getting the right person here.
Absolutely. And I often say in big business, they can actually afford non-performers. They shouldn't have them, but they can afford them. In small business, in that example you're giving, Wendy, if 25% of your workforce is a non-performer, you've got a serious problem and you're not going to be hitting your goals, your financial goals, and that, you know, that negativity of somebody who's really not doing what they should be doing is really going to flow on to the rest of the team.
I believe that you're quite happy to tell people that they shouldn't get into small business.
Yeah, I having done it, it's not for everybody. And I think there are three key things I say that people need. You need incredible resilience. If you're not tough, you're not going to make it. You need a huge amount of optimism, I think, to be an entrepreneur or small business owner. And the last thing is, I think you need a good dose of a bit of naivety, because you wouldn't do it if you knew how tough it is at that beginning. So, you know, you need to be passionate about it. And the other thing I'd say is educate yourself. Absolutely need to know how to run a business. You might be great at HR, but running a business is a lot more complex than that.
Okay, that's Natasha Hawker there. She's Principal of Employee Matters. And our other guest is Robin Hobbs. She's the New South Wales Small Business Commissioner. And Sue was, as I say, best dressed this morning and has a question for either or both of you. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Wendy.
What's the story here?
I have a small business. I've got it on hold for the moment and I want to caretake it so I can reignite it when timing's better.
What do you think of that, Natasha? Is that possible? Should she just put it to bed and start again?
Or? I think that's absolutely possible. And what I'm seeing is a lot of women are really branching out on their own and starting their own businesses. And a lot of corporate women are leaving corporate jobs and coming back into small business. So I think that's a very good idea. It may not be right for her now, personally, and if it's not right, don't do it, because you do need to spend a lot of time and energy on your business to really get it off the ground and make it profitable quickly.
Mm. Can you tell us, you've got some advice here, Robin?
So I'd like to say to Sue, the New South Wales Government has a fantastic program called Business Connect. And we will help any business at any point of their stage of life cycle. So if they want to start up, just like you, Sue, if you were actually think about what you should do, there is a number. It's if I'm happy to give it, it's 1-300-134-359, but you can search for it as Business Connect. The first two sessions are free, then it's heavily subsidised after that, and we'll support you at any stage through your business. And I think that's a really important thing that the New South Wales Government offers.
Rightio. Well, let's get our terms straight here. I should have done this first up, Robin. What constitutes big, medium and small?
Okay, the general definition is under 20 is a small business. Between 20 to 199 is a medium-sized business.
Okay.
And after that, but the trick is the Commonwealth, bless their hearts, has 53 definitions of what a small business is. It's really meant to be so easy, Wendy, 53 definitions. Okay. So I'm a bit of a regulatory revolutionary. We need to get this stuff sorted out.
Okay. Now, Sue, have we been of use to you there?
You have, absolutely. I just, one final question.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a proprietary limited business. Is that easy to put on hold, or should I disband it and just keep the name of the business?
Okay, do you have
Or is that a little too technical for this level of call? I should go to
No, it's not. So what the other thing you can do is you can come into the office of the New South Wales Small Business Commissioner. We actually have a team of mediation officers, and they can help you think about the best way to actually deal with that proprietary limited company. And all that advice is absolutely of no charge to you.
Okay.
Oh, thank you very much. That's very, very helpful.
There you go. Paul from Freshwater, I think this is a comment as much as anything. Hello, Paul.
Good morning, Wendy, and good morning. I've forgotten the names of your guests.
We've got Natasha Hawker here and Robin Hobbs.
Good morning, Natasha and Robin as well. Wendy, I'm in small business. I'm an accountant, and I see a lot of great small businesses, and I see a lot of terrible small businesses. And your guests have been saying already is spot on. Some people are great employees, but are not great employers. They should never go into their own business because they lack the... The good things that you need in small business, such as motivation, drive, also having a product out there that people are going to want to want to have, sort of thing, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's some of them that they might have something good, but they just don't know how to sell it. And,
yeah. Yeah. All right, Paul, I'm going to put that, thank you very much, I'm going to put that to Natasha. Where can we pick up these skills, Natasha?
Yeah, I think education is absolutely critical. When I started my business, I was great at HR, but I had no idea how to run a business. And I actually started my business in the bedroom, like a lot of people do these days. And a friend of mine who was a psychologist said, Natasha, there's only two things you should do in your bedroom, and working isn't one of them. And there are businesses all over Australia that are working out of their bedroom. And I think one of the key things I did was I actually got some education. I realized that I was limited in what I needed to know at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went out and I've spent a lot of money on educating myself on broader aspects of business. So how do I go to market? How do I build products? How do I price them correctly? How do I do social media? How do I understand the legal ramifications of business? And so I would encourage anyone who's looking to do small businesses, you must educate yourself. And if you don't, you're not going to necessarily get the results you want at the time frame.
So on that, we've ran over 500 workshops last year, and we will deal with any topic that actually helps people along the path. And that's the really important thing. The other thing, Wendy, too, is a small business doesn't have to be a specialist in everything. What they should be very aware of is that they can tap into great resources like Natasha to get help.
I think Matt is going to endorse that that view pretty much. G'day, Matt.
G'day, Wendy. How are you going?
Good. Yeah, you say that your industry association was a lifesaver for you.
Yeah, we started up a business a couple of years ago in the technology or information technology space, which is going really well. We've got about 10 people employed and about 12 contractors. But the key there is the industry associations and the role they play around helping small business, punch above their weight. So I think there's industry associations for all industries. Our particular one is great, the AIIA, but it's been really useful for us to raise our profile.
Mm-hmm. So what's your association? Just spell it out for me.
The Australian Information Industry Association, the AIIA.
Uh-huh.
But there are plumbers and you know other associations, but they really nurture the small to medium or startup or
okay.
communities, which is great.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that. Another comment there. And, yes, I think... people are wanting to join in as experts themselves, but if you've got a query for our two guests, well, you are very, very welcome to give us a call. 1-300-222-702 is the number. I have a text here, Natasha.
Mm.
Being a small business owner, we need less red tape and the ability to sack people without being sued. Well, yeah, the perennial complaint, I guess. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, I think one of the things is is my belief is you absolutely need to exit people from your business that are not a fit, either from a performance perspective or a behavioural perspective. The reason why most small business owners want to exit someone is very reasonable.
I like this idea of exiting someone. Yes. I've never really heard it put that way before.
Where they come unstuck, though, Wendy, is the way that they do it. Mm. And so I would encourage everybody to skill up on what they need to do to have those conversations legally and to exit non-performers. I used to be known as the angel of death in London after letting go 50 people. So it can be done well, and it needs to be done in small business. Back to our point about if only, you know, 25.
Well, how do we do it well?
Yeah, look, there's a number of things. I think start those conversations, feedback conversations, really early. So make sure when your new employee starts, you talk about what they're doing well and where they need to improve. If things aren't improving, then you need to go into a process, and that process requires you to offer a support person. And a whole lot of things like that. You need to document it. You need to give them an opportunity to respond as to why they're having problems at the moment. And you need to try and help them get back to the levels of performance they require. If you go through that whole process, you need to let them know before you terminate them that they are so that they are under no illusion that the next step could be exiting from the business, and then go through that process. But I would encourage everybody to get some advice on that before you do it.
Robin, what's the best way to find out if my small business is a good idea? I mean, do I just sort of go online and see if anyone else is doing it, or do I get out there and do some research? I mean, how can I find out?
So I'd steer you into the Business Connect program, which is fantastic. So two sessions are absolutely free, and if you wish to continue using Advisor, they're around $25 a session. But the thing, let me give you a couple of quick tips. Mm. Everyone should have a product or service that they've got. That's the first thing. It shouldn't just be, I might go into a small business. You have to have an idea. The second thing is you need to have a financial plan. Very simple, 13 columns, one page, one for each month of the year, one which says total. You need to know what much money you're going to spend. You need to know how much money you're going to make. The next thing you need to have is what I call a marketing plan on a page. What's going to make you stand out from anybody that's different? And the last one, and I think it's the most important one, you need to have fantastic customer service. Because the thing about that is, how are you going to distinguish yourself from the other 710,000 small businesses in New South Wales? And you know what, Wendy? It's as simple as ringing up your customer and saying, how was that service? Did you like that? It can be a personal trainer. It can be a hairdresser. It can be a butcher who delivers meat. It can be an accountant or a lawyer. But we all know that when we're looking for someone to work for us, we generally ask by reputation. And customer service will get you across the line every single day.
Okay. Well, let's talk to Lisa from Cromer, who has a question for us this morning. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, everyone. Hello. Good
G'day.
Morning. I just wanted to know, if you've got a big idea for a small business, how would you go about finding investors for that business?
I can take that one for you too. So, again, if it is a really big idea, we're more than happy to help you, and it may fit into the Jobs for New South Wales program. So if I can quickly run through those industry sectors, you may fit there: advanced manufacturing, creative industries, digital, environment, financial and professional services, food and quality goods to Asia, infrastructure and smart cities, education, life sciences and tourism. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole range of different loans that will help you get started, and the interest rate is 9%. This is absolutely fantastic program that New South Wales has got, and we really want to grow all those small businesses there, because you might remember I said a bit earlier that all the growth is coming from the small business sector. Mm-hmm. It's not coming from big businesses.
And what about the question here, Natasha? Should Lisa have her own money to finance the whole thing, or what percentage would you recommend that she gets from investors, say?
Yeah, I think it depends where she wants to go. If it's a really, really big idea, one person once told me, look, owning, you know, 90% of a business worth $1 million is better than owning, you know, 100% of a business that's worth $100,000. So I would encourage you, if you can start it on your own, do it on your own. We invested our our savings in our business, and it's done well for us, but it's been tough. But there are other ideas. There are lots of incubators out there and also investors within those incubators as an alternative to Robin. But, that sounds like a great deal from the New South Wales government. So, there are other options. So it just depends how. I would suggest she tests the measures, though. Mm-hmm. Get the business started and make sure the business is viable before you start getting a whole lot of investors.
So one of the big barriers for small businesses, Wendy, is actually getting access to finance.
Sure, yeah.
And that's been a real struggle for them. And so there are, in fact, alternative lenders to the banks out there. And so, again, we're happy to sort of steer people in the right direction. And we've had fantastic success stories of people who've been rejected by the banks who've now created big businesses through other financing means.
Sorry, Robin, what was the website address again?
So come to www.smallbusiness.nsw.gov.au and you can ask to talk to me and I'm happy to talk to you.
Great. Wonderful. Thank you.
There you go. That's a Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
Effort, that one. Thank you. Oh, let's speak with Matt from Cremorne, who has an interesting point. G'day, Matt.
Yeah, g'day. I'm just driving through Cremorne. One of the challenges is getting development approvals for the things that you need to do. And sometimes that's straightforward. If it's just an office, you just move in, it's straightforward. But it can be quite complicated. And I'm a town planning consultant. I'm often encountering people who just find it a lot more complex. And what you find is local government systems aren't really that efficient. Part of the problem with that, I know there's a lot of debate about development in Sydney and it gets very political. Well, the same system, the same development approval system that involves, big controversial new developments also ties up small businesses when they want to do relatively simple things. And so, unfortunately, the small businesses can be the victim in the middle, you know what I mean.
Yeah. Do you have a question attached to this, Matt, or is this just an observation?
It's an observation that your guest may like to reflect upon.
Yeah, all right. Thank you for that. A comment there, Robin?
Yeah, so the Department of Planning and Environment is definitely reforming the planning system and there'll be a model coming out called e-planning. But generally, we've got a fantastic program called Easy to Do Business and we're positioning New South Wales as the easiest state to start a business. For example, just a quick snapshot, to open a cafe, restaurant or small bar, this is disgusting, really shocking, 75 regulations, 48 forms, 30 telephone numbers, 13 different government agencies. We've now got, it takes 18 months. We've got that down to one form, one phone number, and you can do it in less than 3 months.
Okay. Natasha, a bit of a rosy picture here being painted by our New South Wales Small Business Commissioner, and as she rightly should, but there's a lot of businesses failing as well.
Yeah, I have to say we almost went out the back door. And it's the toughest thing I've ever done. I think, there were literally times when we didn't know whether we could put bread and milk on the table for the kids in the morning. It got that tough. So, and I still argue, I'm on a McDonald's salary at the moment because we keep reinvesting in our business. So don't go into small business if you think you're going to make a lot of money very quickly. It is a long-term play. But there's also other advantages of doing it. But, financial rewards take their time to come. Yeah.
And Wendy, an important point, if people are thinking about going to small business, be the small business you want to be. Don't let anyone convince you you need to be a big business. Be the right size for you, the right size for your family, and success will probably come your way.
You're with Wendy Harmer on ABC Radio Sydney.